this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
An amazing thing what the Lord Jesus Christ did, that he came to this earth, God in human flesh. The Bible says we are sinners, and because we're sinners, every one of us deserve to go to hell. But God loves us in spite of the fact that we do wrong. He loves us so much that he was willing to come to this earth as a baby. He was willing to come to this earth as a man so that he could live his life for one reason, so he could die to pay the penalty of our sin. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of people, then went back to heaven. Now, the Bible says that because of what he did, I can know I'm going to heaven. I can come to him and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I know that you are God. I know that you died for my sin, that you were buried and rose from the dead for me. And I'm calling on you and I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. That's what we believe about our God. We can know we're going to heaven. God has given us renewal. The Bible says in this, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I receive Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me he makes me new. He makes me brand new in him. This time of the year, we come to the end of an old year and begin a new year. We've been talking about the ultimate gift. Today I'm going to talk about the gift of renewal. The fact that we come to this time, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and certainly that was renewal. Jesus came at a time of darkness in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had been in bondage. They are in captivity. They are an occupied nation. And yet Jesus came. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, Satan hated the fact that Jesus was coming, and Satan put an all out attack on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was unsuccessful. God came to this earth as a man, was born in a manger, lived and suffered and died and paid for our sin. He came in victory to get us a new life, to give us eternal life. The Bible says if we come to him, anyone that's in Christ is a new creature. The Bible says we can come to him, admit that we're sinners, and ask him to give us eternal life, and he makes us brand new. The gift of renewal. I'm going to speak on that this morning, and I'm going to take you to an unusual passage. In fact, I have never preached from this book of the Bible before until today. The book of Lamentations. Lamentations, that's found right before or right after the book of Jeremiah, and it is found right before the book of Ezekiel. It's a very small book, the book of Lamentations, and it's a book of lamenting. Jeremiah was a prophet in Israel, and he is lamenting over the things that have taken place. When we come to the end of a year, We celebrate the victories of the past, and we attempt to bury the failures of the past. We do that by confessing our sin and forsaking them, and we move forward. We look forward to new challenges in the new year. We look at goals that are set. We set fresh new goals for the new years. But sometimes we are in a time of turmoil. We are in a time of strife. Sometimes at the end of a year or some throughout the year, we may have faced some very difficult times. You may have had some trials in your family. You may have some trials personally. You may have some financial problems. You may have some problems. In fact, what we're going to do right now is I'm going to have you bow your head and close your eyes. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd just like to ask a question. In fact, I'm going to pray for you right now that God will use this message in your life. Maybe you're here and you'd say, preacher, I've had some problems. We're going through right now some difficulties financially. We're going through some difficulties in our family. We're going through some difficulties socially. Maybe you've got some material problems. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's just some spiritual battles that you're facing. You'd say, preacher, that's me. As we start this message, pray for me that I might be renewed. Pray for me that God would help me through this message. We're going through some struggles. Pray for me. If that's you, would you slip up your hand, hold it up. Just hold it up. Let me pray for you. Okay, all over. Father, I pray for every person whose hand is lifted right now. I pray you'll use this message in their lives. Father, help us to see what it means to experience your renewal. And Father, help us as we're looking at the life of Jeremiah to understand that he, in the midst of difficulties, had renewal. And I pray, Father, that we might understand the keys to having personal renewal in our lives at this time. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3, the writer is Jeremiah. Jeremiah has faced some very difficult times. In verse 15 of Lamentations chapter 3, he says in verse 14, I was a derision to all my people. That is, I was laughed at and mocked by the people that were my family and my friends and my relatives. And their song all the day long, they made up songs about me, about how ignorant I was, how stupid I was. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Now, when he says he's talking about God. He's talking about Jehovah. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And thou hast covered my soul far off from peace. Or, I'm sorry, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. Peace is here, and I'm on the other side of the room. I forget prosperity. All my riches are gone. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I have nothing. It's all gone. Remember mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them in remembrance and is humbled in me. I'm just in the midst of a pit. Verse 21, here's where things change. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What he's saying here is that because of the wickedness of Israel, I should have been consumed with Israel. But I'm not. Because his compassions fail not. They don't fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The year is 588 B.C. 588 B.C. Jeremiah has spent 41 years of his life preaching to the nation of Israel. He saw revival. He saw great things under King Josiah. King Josiah came in after the nation rebelled against Israel, or the nation of Israel had rebelled against God, and he restored the worship of the true God. He restored the temple. He did wonderful things. There was revival, great things that happened. But after Josiah died, his son rebelled. And the nation again began to worship a false god. And whenever the nation of Israel started worshiping a false god, that was the final straw. God said, that's it. You're not recognizing me as God. And he turned them over to wickedness. And the final thing that had taken place was the Babylonians had come and wreaked havoc on the city. The city had been destroyed. That's what Jeremiah was witnessing. And so he sits down and he laments and he writes the words here of his lamentations in this book that we call the Book of the Lamentations. Yet in the midst of this book, right dead center in the midst of this book, where he's talking about the struggles and the terrible things that are going on in Israel, there is an attitude of renewal. There's an attitude of hope. There's an excitement that comes out. In Jeremiah, look again with me at verses 22 through 25. It says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will have hope. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeketh him. Man, things are good because I have the Lord. In the midst of all of this, he said, listen, I'm rejoicing. I am looking forward to what God is going to do. You have hope here in the midst of despair. You have renewal in the midst of what looks to be disaster. Now, how can you have joy in the midst of sorrow? How can you have peace in the midst of a storm? How can you have God's contentment when things don't seem to be going right around you? Oftentimes, we allow circumstances to dictate to us whether we're going to have victory or not. And God doesn't want that. God wants you and I to live on the victory side. God wants you and I to understand that He has control of everything we're going to do. I'm going to give you five things that you need to remember that Jeremiah remembered that kept him happy in the midst of the struggles. And we'll see how Jeremiah ends up in this situation. This is a wonderful, wonderful example. Number one, I want you to see this, that Jeremiah recognized the sovereignty of God. Jeremiah recognized in the midst of everything that was going on in his life that God is sovereign. God is in control. We need to recognize that. It doesn't matter what happens politically. It doesn't matter what happens economically. God is in control. If you believe that, say amen. He is sovereign. He's in control. Look at the beginning of this chapter in Lamentations 3:1-2. It says, this is what he says. He says, I am a man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Now, I want you to see, he says, I'm in darkness. I'm not in light. And the person that put me here was God. Wow. In verses 5-7, the Bible says, he hath built it against me. God's built it against me and compassed me with gall and travail. This is God that did this. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. That doesn't sound very pleasant. This is what he's made my chain heavy. So I cannot move. It sounds like the ghost that came to Scrooge, you know. I've got the heavy chains. That's what he's done to me. And he says, God did this to me. God did this to me. Look in verse 15 and 16. He, this is God, hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. That doesn't sound pleasant. When my children were young, Matthew took a rock one day. We didn't know it. He said to us, Dad, I have a rock in my nose. I said, I have a rock in your nose. He said, no, Dad, I've got a rock in my nose. A couple of days went by, and his nose is starting to get like real sore. I said, what do you got? He said, Dad, I got a rock in my nose. I said, you have let me see. And I looked at him with a flashlight, pulled his nose open. He had a rock in his nose. I said, how did that get there? He said, I stuck a rock up my nose. I said, you're not supposed to stick rocks up your nose. So we had to take him to a doctor, and the doctor took out not just one rock, but I think two rocks out of his nose. And so, it's a bright child. There's certain places that rocks aren't supposed to be. They're not supposed to be in your head. They're not supposed to be in your nose. And you're not supposed to grind them. But the Bible says, he said, look, it's like I'm grinding my teeth with gravel. God did this to me. Listen, I don't understand why God does everything that he does. I don't understand why God permits certain things that he permits. But you need to recognize the sovereignty of God. He was able to rejoice in the midst of this because he stopped. In the midst of all of this, he stops and he says, wait a minute. I have hope because he says, I know that God is in control. You need to understand, number one, that God has permitted it. If trouble comes my way, God permitted it. Nothing can touch you unless God allows it. Can you say amen to that? Now, you may be, it may be something you've done in your life, or it may be something that's come in your life because some other sin or some other, just some circumstance, but God has permitted it, and you've got to understand that. Number two, you need to understand that no matter how bad things are, God is still in control. No matter how bad things seem around you, God is still in control. And I'm telling you, if you'll understand that, you don't panic. You don't have to have the heart attack. You don't have to get crippled up with arthritis because you're worrying so much. You don't have to eat yourself crazy because you're worrying and that's what you do to overcome. You don't have to get depressed because God is still in control. You need to understand that no matter what you're facing, God has allowed it. He has allowed it. You've got to recognize this. You've got to realize that what God is doing is the best thing He can be doing. If you're a child of God and you're surrendered to God and you're doing what God wants you to do, then what is happening is the best thing that can be happening. Romans 8:28 still says, "And we know that all things work together. All things work together for good to them that love God." Now, that does not say that all things are good. Everything that happens in my life is good. No, it says all things, the good things, the bad things, the pleasant things, the unpleasant things. All of the things that happen in your life are working together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, what is the purpose? His purpose is to make you like Jesus Christ. His purpose is to make you like Him. And so God allows you to suffer certain things in your life. He allows you to go through certain trials in your life to make you, to form you, to shape you into the person that He wants you to be so that you can represent Jesus Christ. That's His purpose for you. And we need to understand that. And I'm telling you, when you understand that God is in control, when you recognize God's sovereignty, then it'll make you thankful. And so God tells us that when we face trials, understand He's in control. And number two, thank Him. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians. It says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Have you thanked Him recently for the thing you're going through? So you know what I'm going through? I'm broke. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for being broke? That sounds crazy. That's what He says to do. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The car got wrecked. Have you thanked Him for it? "Thank you, Lord. I don't know why you let it happen, but I want to thank you for it." I'm not saying to be thankful. There's a difference between being thankful and thanking Him. I mean, I smashed my finger, and I'm not thankful that I smashed my finger. But I can say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, I smashed my finger. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever you're doing, thank you." You need to be thankful. You need to understand that God will use circumstances in your life. You've got to recognize that He's in control. Secondly, you've got to thank Him. And then thirdly, you should pray for deliverance. You should pray for deliverance. The Bible tells us this. Jesus said, when we pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." That's trials. If I'm in the midst of a trial, I can say, "Lord, deliver me from the evil. Deliver me from this evil one." God tells us I can pray these things. God tells us that I'm supposed to pray these things. I don't pray. I'm not the person that says, "Lord, bring more trials in my life so I can become more like You." I don't do that. I don't want trials. If you would like trials in your life, say amen. Good. You're honest. If you don't want trials, you're like me, say amen. I don't want trials in my life, so I can pray, "Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one." Look, when I'm in the midst of whatever I'm going through, it doesn't matter. We look at the world sometimes, we say, "Wow, the world's just going crazy." I need to recognize the sovereignty of God. I need to recognize it. I need to thank Him for whatever He's doing in my life, and then I need to ask Him, "Lord, keep me from trials and temptations. Deliver me from satanic attack," recognizing He's in control in the midst of whatever I'm facing. Number two, I need to remind myself of God's provision for others. when you're going through trials or when you're looking around and you start to get depressed about things that you see, remind yourself of God's provision for others. This book is filled with God doing miraculous things. This book is filled with God's deliverance and God's renewal in the life of believers. You can just think of a multitude of stories. Let me tell you this one. Abraham and Sarah. What a phenomenal story. Abraham and Sarah. You understand that he was 75 years old when God called him? At 75, you think, man, let's sit down, you know, let's rest a little bit. 75 years old. His wife is 65 years old. And God comes to him and he says, Abraham, I got a plan for you. What's that? You're going to take me to heaven? No, I'm going to take you someplace. Where? Just don't ask. What I want you to do is pick up everything you've got and follow me. Where? I'll show you. Go tell Sarah, let's pack up and you're just going to leave. At 75 years old, he goes to his 65-year-old wife and says, honey, pack up the house. We're moving. We're moving. But all my friends and everybody here and my mom and my dad, we're moving. Okay, well, where are we going? I don't know. Now, would you like that? I have no idea where we're going. Well, who told you we're going? Why are you going? Because God told me to. What have you been drinking? You know, what's the deal with you? Where is this coming from? I mean, this is a total and complete change of life. The Bible tells us that he gets her to go. And they take Lot and they pack up their stuff and they start heading out to a place that God said, I'll show you when you get there. Well, they travel and they go out for 24 years. By the way, at this time, God said, by the way, I'm going to make you a great nation. Doesn't have one kid, but he says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Out of you and Sarah, there's going to be a great nation. He tries a couple of things and that wasn't in God's plan. But by the time we get to Genesis chapter 17, Abraham has now 99 years old. 24 years later, 99 years old. His wife is 89 years old. And God meets with him again. And God says, Abraham, I want you to know, I've told you all these years you're going to have a baby. Well, I want you to know next year about this time, Sarah's going to be having a baby. Well, what would you do? Here's what it says in Genesis 17:17. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. That's what she would do. 99 years old. Okay, it's time. Your 89-year-old wife, she's going to have a baby. The Bible says, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? She's going to have a baby. Right, right. I know you're God. You can do whatever you want to. This is funny. Do you know the name Isaac means laughter? They had to name him. God said, okay, you're naming him Laughter. I'll remind you not to distrust me. Chapter 18, Sarah overhears the Lord reassuring Abraham she's going to have a baby next time this year. And the Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah were old in Genesis chapter 18 and well stricken in age. Understand well stricken? Do you understand well stricken in age? I'm 59 years old. When I get up out of bed in the morning, I say, oh, my wife says, what's wrong? Nothing. Just nothing. I feel great. Man, I you go and you shower and you reach the scratch where you, and it just it doesn't reach right. And well stricken in age is much beyond 59. Then 99 years old. That's somebody putting you in the shower. Do you understand? Helping you out of bed. That's 99 years old. That's not, this is well stricken in age. Now, Abraham and Sarah were they're both of them well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now, if you don't understand what that means, ask your wife when you get home. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, I love this, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? Me and the old guy? Right. That's the vernacular there. Somewhere in the Hebrew, I'm not sure. They're well stricken with age. But here's what God says. After she laughs and God says, hey, why is Sarah laughing? Sarah said, I'm not laughing. I went, well, no, that's me laughing. Not me. God said, look, I want you to understand what I'm going to do. In Genesis 18 and verse 10, he said, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. This is amazing. God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make her young again, and I'm going to make you young again. This is absolutely impossible. You say, what do you mean? What does this mean? Return unto her according to the time of life. I'll tell you what it means. If you go to Genesis chapter 20, and we don't have time to turn there, but you can read it later on, Genesis 20 verses 1 through 6. The Bible says 99 years old, 89 years old, they decide to go to another land, and they go to where Abimelech is king. 89 years old. 99 years old, they travel up there. When they get up there, Abraham says, hey, wait a minute. You're looking pretty good. When we get up there, there's going to be some guys that want you. And you need to tell them you're my sister. 89 years old. And when they get there, listen, the king who could have picked anyone in the land sees this woman, 89 years old. The word hot mama comes into my mind. See, you're not supposed to say that in the pulpit, I know, but I couldn't help it. See, she walks into the kingdom, and the king says, I want that, 89 years old. Why? Because God returned unto her the time of life. God renewed her. God made her young again so that she could accomplish what God had intended her to accomplish. Renewal. Renewal. These are amazing stories in the Bible of renewal. Have you ever read the story of Ruth and Naomi? What a tremendous story. Here we have a man named Elimelech who takes his wife and moves to a place he's not supposed to move to. He moves to Moab. He has two sons. And they both get married, Ruth and another lady. They get married. And so Naomi and Ruth and I think Balaam are there. And they are in this other country. Well, Naomi's husband dies. And then her son dies. And then her second son dies. And there are three widows. No hope. Nothing. And so one of them leaves and takes off and goes back to Moab. And Naomi says, there's no hope for me. I'm going back to Israel. There's nothing I can do here. I've got to go back and just be a beggar in Israel. You go to your home, Ruth. And Ruth says, no. Whether you go, I'll go. Whether your people are going to be my people, your God's going to be my God. And she goes with Naomi. The story of Ruth really isn't the story of Ruth. It's the story of Naomi. Naomi goes back and the Bible says when she enters into the town, they said, hey, it's Naomi. So Naomi had some type of reputation. They said, hey, it's Naomi. She's back. And she said, no, don't call me Naomi. She said, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. And so she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I'm bitter. There's nothing left. There's nothing but bitterness left. But I just want you to understand that was just God's opportunity for renewal. That was God's opportunity to redo something. That was God's opportunity to do something miraculous. So there's Ruth and Naomi, and Naomi sends Ruth out to glean the fields as a pauper, to go out and get the what's left over after the farmers have farmed and bring back stuff so they can eat the scraps that are left behind. And in doing that, Ruth meets Boaz, and Boaz falls in love with her, and the wonderful love story of Ruth and Boaz take place. Ruth and Boaz get married, and Boaz has a child. And that child is placed in the arms of Naomi. And now Naomi is rejoicing in God's blessing. In Ruth chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord," that is Jehovah, that's Jesus, "which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher in thine own age." He is a restorer of life. See, God brought her back. God renewed her. God allowed her to go through this so that the victory could come. And what happens? Boaz has a son named Jesse, and Jesse has a son named David, and David becomes the great king of Israel, who is celebrated to this day. Amazing story of renewal. When things aren't going the way you think they should be going, when things aren't happening the way you think they should be happening, think back about the blessings of God that you can read about in the Word of God, and allow the Word of God to renew you. The Bible tells us the story of David, when David was fleeing from Saul, and his people were with him, and he had armies that were with him. When they returned to their land where they were staying, their land had been invaded. They went back to a town called Ziklag, and it had been invaded. And all the people were upset with David. In fact, they wanted to kill David. They thought about killing him. And the Bible says that David went to the Word and revived himself, renewed himself in the Lord. Allow yourself to experience renewal. Look, circumstances should not dictate what's going on in your mind and in your heart. Remember the blessings of God. Remind yourself of the blessings of God and others. And then number three, rehearse the blessings of God in your life. Think about the good things that God has done for you. And think about how God has used trials in your life in the past to bring forth blessings in your life. God tells us that when a woman is going to bring forth a baby, she goes through great labor. But after the baby is born, she rejoices and forgets the labor. The truth of the matter is God allows us to go through trials to bring something wonderful into our life. Jesus, the Bible says this about Jesus, that he endured the cross despising the shame. He didn't get up on the cross and say, "Hey, this is wonderful. Hey, just going to kick back here for the next 6 hours." He despised the shame that was there. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Think back this past year of all the things that God has brought you through. Think back in your life of the things that God has brought you through and the blessings that you have received through the trials that you may have faced in the past. God brings us through. Remember, rehearse the blessings of God. This past Wednesday, Jeremy Pittman was with us. Jeremy is the one we're helping with his orphanage in Uganda. It's a wonderful ministry that we're part of there in Uganda. Well, Jeremy, about 6 years ago, was at the airport, and he had dropped his wife off at a hotel, and he had went back to get to his car. When he went to his car, there were three big Ugandan guys that came to him. And they wanted his money, and he reached in his pocket to get them something. They thought he was going to fight them or do something, and they just beat him to a pulp. They broke his jaw. They broke his neck. They broke his ribs. They had to put him on a plane and fly him to the United States, where he got emergency medical treatment in Washington, D.C. His body was severely beaten. It took him a year and a half of treatments to get through, to get back to where he was somewhat normal. And he still has consequences from that hurt. He said this Wednesday, about sometime in this past year, I think about 6 months ago, so he was walking down the street in Uganda. And he said because of that accident, he had a pain in his neck, and he went to turn his head, and when he turned his head that way, he looked over and he saw another man, a Ugandan. And he said in his, I looked on the back of his neck, there was a scar coming down his neck, and there were staples that were stapled together. And he said, a couple of things went through my mind. He said, first of all, that operation didn't take place here. He must not be from here. He must have had that operation someplace else. Secondly, he said, I just noticed it because I had an operation on my neck. And he said, I got curious about it, so I walked over to this gentleman who I would never have talked to unless that was a problem with his, because of, I would have never talked to him except that I saw that operation on his neck. I walked over to him and I began to talk to him. He said, I talked to the man and I had an opportunity to share with him. He talked for a few minutes and he said, I asked him the question, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, no. And he sat down and had a conversation with this man, and that man trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, as he was finished with the conversation, the man, he said the man was growing in Christ and it was wonderful. He said, I thought about this. He thought about the fact that 6 years ago, I didn't know why God was allowing me to be, why God allowed me to go through that. But he said, if I was walking down the street and if I hadn't had that pain in my neck, and I hadn't turned around and looked and saw that guy with that operation, I would never have talked to him. I would never have even seen him, and I wouldn't have cared. But God used that tragedy. He didn't call it a tragedy, but God allowed that tragedy in his life to come to a point where somebody trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want you to understand that the Bible tells us the value of a soul is greater than the entire world. Can you say amen to that? So God allowed them to go through that. And allowed him to do that because he wanted him to lead someone else to Christ. We need to understand, we need to rehearse the blessings that God has given us in our life. Remember what God has done in your life. And you'll be able to rejoice in the midst of trials. You'll have that sense of renewal. Number four, I want you to see this, that God wants us to recognize his promises to be true in our lives. Recognize God's promise to be true in your life. God tells us certain things in his word, and we need to believe them. In verse 22, Jeremiah says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. He said, listen, I remember who it is that I'm serving. I remember who it is that I'm serving. Can I remind you that God hears and answers prayer? If you believe that, say amen. God hears and answers prayer. When I go into a trial, it's an immediate message from God that I need to pray. God wants me to pray. God hears and answers prayer. He wants us to pray. God wants us to do what he has told us to do. So I need to claim God's promise. God, here I have a trial. Here I have a situation. Here I've got a circumstance. God, I'm asking you to work. God answers prayer. Number two, what we sow, we reap. That's a promise from God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I can claim that promise from God. I recognize that if he says it, it is true. Jeremiah claimed the promise, his compassions fail not. Whatever it is that I'm facing, he will be with me. He will compassionately lead me through that. He says, great is thy faithfulness. He is faithful. God is faithful. Whatever it is that he is sovereignly allowing me to go through, he's in charge of it. I am going to thank him for it, and I'm going to ask him to work. I'm going to recognize that his promises in my life are true. I'm going to believe those promises, and I'm going to move forward and keep trusting him no matter what it is that I face. Then lastly, recommit to God's call in your life. Here's what he says in verses 25 and 26. He says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. recommit to God's call in your life. God, you know that what I'm doing, you know that I'm living for you, you know that I'm trying to do what you want me to do. I am totally and completely committed to what you want me to do. Now, waiting on the Lord does not mean just sitting down and saying, okay, things are bad, you're going to have to do something. I'm not doing a thing. That's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord means saying, okay, God, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do and leave the results to you. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do in my life situation, and then I'm going to leave the results to you. We need to determine to wait on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I don't understand how this is going to work out. God, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Jeremiah was in a tough situation. Jeremiah was told by God to go and preach a message that wasn't popular. He was told to tell people, look, you need to allow yourself to go into captivity. You need to understand Nebuchadnezzar is going to come. Don't fight the enemy. He was preaching a message that they did not want to hear. And it doesn't seem like the right thing to be preaching. But he said, I'm going to do it anyway, trusting God to do what he tells you to do. Number two, you need to recommit to your time in prayer. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Whenever you face any kind of trial, if you want renewal in your life, you just very simply got to call on him. And you need to do it more often. There ought to be a time every day in your life that you set for a time of prayer for specific needs. But you ought to be in a constant state of prayer all day long. So if something comes up, you can go to God immediately. Say, Lord, I want to ask you to take care of this. Recommit to search the word of God for answers. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's all right to ask God why, and it's all right to go into the word of God and seek God's truth. Study, determine, I want to find out what God has to say about this particular thing. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust him as I'm reading the word, as I'm praying, and I'm doing what he wants me to do. I'm going to recommit to these things. Recommit in your life to giving. The Bible says this in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I can remember the first time I heard somebody preach on this. His name was Chuck Milhoff. He was a Nazarene preacher preaching at a Baptist college. And he preached to us and he said, you know, you just need to learn to trust God. This says, give. If you have a need, he said, give whatever you have and ask God to meet the need. You've got to start God's moving in your life by giving. And I thought, boy, that sounds crazy. If you don't have, then you hold on to everything you have. That's what you do. If you don't have anything, you just hold on to everything you have because you don't want to get rid of what you do have. But he said, no, God says, look, if you don't have enough to meet your need, give away what you have, and God will take care of you. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm just a dumb college student. I didn't have enough money to pay for my tuition. I needed $500. I didn't have $500 to pay for my tuition. So I took money that I did have. When the offering plate came by, I put the money in the offering plate. I said, God, you'll just have to supply my need. So I took the preacher at his word, took this and said, okay, God, I don't have it. And the school was saying, we have a particular need. The church had a particular need. And we need to meet this need. So I said, okay, God, I'm taking the money I have. I'm putting it in the offering plate, and you're going to have to take care of my need. and then I waited. And I fasted. And I prayed. And I asked God to supply the need. And a week went by, and 2 weeks went by, and 3 weeks went by, and 4 weeks went by. And they started announcing, if you don't pay your tuition, you will not be allowed to come back into school next year. And I said,
Okay, God, you heard that. I'm trusting you. I don't have any money to give. And by the way, if they don't let me back into school, I have no room and board either. I have no place to live. I have no food to eat. And I have no school to go to. And there's no way that, I mean, I was 2,300 miles away in Lynchburg, Virginia. How was I going to get back to Las Vegas, Nevada? I don't have no way to get home except hitchhike. And my mother said, don't do that. And the weeks went by. Finally, the day came that the tuition was due. And they announced, pay your tuition today or you won't. And I owed $500. Pay your tuition today or you're not allowed to be back in school. You're going to have to pack up and go home. And after they made the announcement after chapel, I thought, okay, what am I supposed to do? So I left. And I wanted to give God an object lesson. So I went down. I went out, walked out in the street. And I found a gutter. And I sat in the gutter. Actually, it was sort of like here. And I sat down in the gutter. And I said, God, I trusted you, and I'm in the gutter. I have no place, I have no food to eat. I have no way to get home. I don't have, I have no school to go to, and I don't have any place to live. I am in the gutter. God, what am I supposed to do? And that's where I sat. And God said to me, no audible voice, just God said, get up and go talk to the president. Go talk to the president? He said, just go and tell him that you don't have the money. I said, okay. So I went. His name was Pierre Gillerman. He was the vice president. He was the guy that ran Liberty Baptist College. So I went in. I'm standing in line with all these people. And they're standing in line. They're paying their bill. He's saying, okay, here's your paper. Go to school, you know. And the next person, and the next person. And I'm just standing there. I said, okay. So I get up, and he's sitting there at a table. And so I got up there, and I knelt down like this. And I said, hi, I'm Dave Tice. And he said, because I want to look at him, blah, 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 blah. He said, well, hi, David, are you here to pay your bill? I said, I can't pay my bill. He said, why? I said, I don't have the money. I said, I need $500. He said, well, what'd you do with the money that you did have? I said, I put it in the offering plate. I said there was a need, and I put it in the offering plate because the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, and you put your money in the offering plate. I said, yes, sir. He said, you owe $500. You can't get back in the next semester if you don't pay that $500. I said, I know that by summer I'll have $500. He said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah. I said, this summer I'll have $500. He said, is that from a reputable source? I said, yes. I said, somebody's promised me that he'll take care of the need. And he said, I'm serious. That's what I said. He said these words. He said, is it a reliable source? I said, he's never let me down before. He said, okay, I'm going to sign this. I don't do this, but I'm going to sign this, and you're going to be able to get back in next semester, in the next semester. He said, but if you don't have the money by this summer, he said, you won't be allowed to come back. I said, thank you very much. And I got up. I said, wow. The next day I was in school, walking to my class, and a guy comes up to me from North Carolina, and he said, Dave, I've been looking all over for you. I said, what's that? He said, I have a ministry opportunity for you this summer. I said, well, what's that? He said, our church is looking for some guys to come and work in the bus ministry. He said, they'll guarantee that they'll give you $500 at the end of the summer. I said, I'll take it. He said, you don't even know anything about it. I said, $500 is what you said? They're going to give me $500 and all I have to do is knock on doors? He said, yeah. I said, I'll be there. He said, but you don't even, I said, that's okay. I've been praying. God gave me exactly what I told him that I was trusting God for. I want you to understand, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You sell out to Jesus and he'll sell out to you. Recommit to giving. Recommit to going to church, being there on a regular basis, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Somebody said to me one time, well, I don't think I need to be there all that time. I want you to understand, I need to be in church. I need your encouragement. I need to look at Freddie sitting right there and see him. And I may only shake hands with him and say hi to him for a few minutes, but I'm encouraged because that's my brother and he's making it through the struggle. And so am I. That's an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to see Ron and to talk to him. I just talked to his wife this morning, and she said, hey, we were just talking about you and saying we thank God for you. You know, that's an encouragement to me. I need that more than just once a week. I need pats on the back all the time. And if you're truthful, you need it too. You say, oh, I don't need it. I'm not. Yes, you do. You need people saying, hey, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. You need that. And if you don't think you do, maybe that's why you're so grouchy. Maybe that's why you're so hard to get along with. People aren't telling you because you say you don't need it. You need it. You need people telling you they appreciate you. We need one another. So God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself, but encourage one another. And so much more as you see tough times approaching. Recommit to personal holiness. Jesus said, or Peter said, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to recommit to these things. And when we do these things, when we recommit to these things, we bring renewal into our life. Recommit to sharing Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again says, as I started this morning, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And then it says that now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. God says, I've made you new creatures so that you can be my ambassadors and bring other people to me. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Recommit to telling other people about Christ. Use this Christmas season to tell everybody you can about Jesus Christ. Times of renewal. God wants that for us. And we can have renewal. It doesn't matter. See, renewal doesn't come because things are perfect around us, because we live in a perfect nation and we're financially perfect and we're physically well off. That has nothing to do with it. Renewal comes to our life. And we can have a great year. Somebody said, we're facing the new year. Man, I hope it wasn't as bad as the last one. I want you to understand, you can have a great new year. As you're looking at the new year, you can have a great end of this year. You can have a wonderful Christmas. You can have a wonderful time. If you'll just recognize, number one, in everything you do, the sovereignty of God. Recognize His sovereignty in everything. Remind yourself of God's provision, how He provided for centuries for His people. Rehearse the blessings of God in your life. What God has done. Reckon God's promises to be true. Just say, these are true and I believe them. And then recommit to God, to God's call in your life, and say, I'm going to do these things that God wants me to do, and just trust Him. So the question is, what happened to Jeremiah? I mean, the Babylonian captivity took place. What happened to Jeremiah? It's a wonderful story. Jeremiah warned them. The Babylonians are going to come in. Nebuchadnezzar is going to invade this land. And he was faithful. Him and his sidekick, Baruch. You don't hear much about Baruch, but he's a very interesting guy. Remember Baruch one time, Jeremiah said, here, take this, write out everything I say. So he writes the book of Jeremiah. And he takes it to the king and he says, here, king, I'm supposed to give this to you. And the king rips it up in his face. He says, go tell Jeremiah that's what I think about him. So Baruch goes back. And he says, okay, Jeremiah, the king just ripped up the whole book. So what am I supposed to do? He says, here, write it again. So he writes it again. He takes it back. He's a faithful messenger of God. Jeremiah and Baruch were both there during the Babylonian captivity. And while people were going through terrible struggles, and Jeremiah saw them and experienced them, but God preserved Jeremiah a place in Jerusalem. And God preserved Baruch a place in Jerusalem because they were faithful and God renewed them. God took care of them. God supplied their needs. I just want you to understand, this book is a book of renewal. And we need to understand, understanding His sovereignty, understanding His provision, understanding His blessing, but believing His promises and recommitting to do what God wants us to do with our life will keep us renewed day by day by day, except the renewal of God. Father, help us to take what we've heard. Help us to live it. Help us to walk as examples of Your renewal. Father, I pray that we might have Your peace that passes understanding and pass it on to others. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray for their salvation at this moment. Lord Jesus, I ask this in Your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.